Blog Talk Radio.
Communicate across the sky until you hear the message sent through sound and light.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Pittsburgh Sportsmonger Show. I am broadcasting remotely in Wheeling, covering game 5 of the Wheeling Nailers and the Florida Everblades. Sorry about that. No glasses. Lighting's bad up here in the perch. What a great location, though. We're checking it out. The guys aren't on the ice yet for practice. We've got, let me look here. I like checking out the puck designs before, and looks like a little man on one side, and we got some brokenness on the other side. Anyways, tonight's show is going to be great. It's going to be short. It's going to be great. We're going to be talking some Pirates, some Penguins, and, of course, Wheeling Nailers. It is 2-2 in this Wheeling Nailer series. A chance tonight for Wheeling to leave town up 3-2. It won't be easy. The Everglades were up 3-0 last night. And the Nailers were not going to have any of it. They stormed back to beat them, tie the series at 2-2. Before we get into that, the Pittsburgh Penguins today absolutely annihilated the New York Rangers. Absolutely 100% annihilated them. They took it to them. Not from the opening gun, because New York did come out and serve the Pens with an initial punch, going up 1-0. Pittsburgh would answer quickly, though. They turned it around. New York would take the lead again. And at that point, you wondered if the Penguins were going to revert back to what we've seen in the past, or if their skill and speed was going to be enough to push them over the edge. And within moments, you figured out that they had more than enough to skate past the Rangers. They tied the game at 2. It's 2-2 at the end of 1, and the Pens would blow it open in the second period, scoring 4 times unanswered. Leading after two, 6-2, they would win the game 6-3. They got shots and or goals from every line. Brian Rust had a great game. He scored twice, and he was a difference maker out there. Connor Sheary, once again, on Sid's line, was spot on. He also scored today. So Rust scored twice. Sheary scored once. I do believe Hagelin pitched in with a goal. It was nice to see, especially after a dominant game the game before, where you had Evgeny Malkin and Matt Murray really standing tall. Malkin scored 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. Matt Murray, all he did was he was the difference. He was a difference maker. The Rangers needed game 4 badly. They needed to climb back in the series. And Matt Murray was just not going to have any of it. Between him and Matt and that early goal that I do believe was scored by Matt Cullen, there just was no chance. Absolutely no chance. It was over quickly. Now they await. They wait and find out who they play next. Either the Capitals or the Flyers, more than likely it will be the Caps. What a fun series that should be, even though at this point I feel so good about the way this Penguin team was playing. And I don't mind saying, it wasn't 2 months ago I called this season over. That's right, I called it over. It was done. It was finished. I did not think they had a chance. I did not think they had a firepower. I just didn't think about it. With Malkin going out, I did not think they could put together enough to win consistently night in and night out. And all they did was reel off 2 months of pure hockey ecstasy in Pittsburgh, for a Pittsburgh fan, that is. The speed on the team is unrivaled in this league. And you can hear the horns going off here and the music in the background. So if you occasionally hear a little music that you're not crazy about, please, please just know I'm in an arena. So anyway, but their speed, absolutely unrivaled through this stretch. And so far in this in that first series, they were amazing, absolutely amazing. They were fun to watch. And it's not just because they're winning. The winning's great. And as Mike and Mike in the Morning like to refer to it, I've poo-pooed the NHL because I think they stink. I think they stink on ice, the product itself. But it's been fun to watch. Very fun to watch. As a Penguins fan. Outside of that, same old, same old. They don't call what they need to call. Then they miss a couple. So then there's some phantom calls right after that make no sense. They swallow the whistle in the third period. Guys are allowed to absolutely hack away and hack away. It's tough to watch from time to time. Because scoring's been up in Pittsburgh, that they've eliminated that problem. As a fan, you can sit through the game now. And it's not just because of the scoring. It's because of how they're skating. They're skating with confidence up and down the ice. And it is fast-paced and fun to watch. Absolutely a blast. If they're able to, if the Caps close out the Flyers and they're able to take on that team. Or not, yeah, the Caps, I should say. The Capitals have not just speed, but they also have a huge size advantage, and they hammer and hammer and hammer away. So although Pittsburgh won the last couple of games in the series during the year and carries some momentum, no doubt, they really haven't played a team with that much talent, that much size and speed in the playoffs in a couple of years. So it'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch. Quickly, we're gonna change gears a little bit. We're gonna go into the Pirates. I'm still waiting to see if I will actually get my special guest here. I don't know if he'll get over here in time because things are gonna start heating up soon. But the Pirates in recent days, the last week, we've seen. All year you've seen the surge in the on-base percentage and the hitting, but they're really scoring. They're scoring at a high level. The pitching is where things have gone south and awry. So we will see soon if this starting pitching staff will solidify or balance out, if it will clean itself up. It would be nice to cut down on the walks. They would, I think for a whole week and a half, every game seemed like they were giving up five walks. And in one game, the Pirates, who lead the league in taking walks, took 10 in one game. So what we're seeing out of this team is something we haven't seen in years, or maybe at all. They're playing line drive and singles baseball, and they're moving runners over, and they're playing small ball. I think they have 10 or 11 home runs for the season. That's it. And to this point, I mean, they're 9-8. They're 4 games behind the Cubs. Though I don't have the slightest idea what the Cubs are doing tonight, or if they played this out, I have no idea. I've been in Wheeling, haven't checked, but the Cubs have been on fire, the Pirates have an offense that can stay with the Cubs. Now, that pitching has to clean itself up. They have to get more consistent starts from guys like Francisco Liriano. Gerrit Cole looked like he's straightened things out, which is a good sign. Juan Nicasio, he's got to show us in the next month if he's going to be the guy we saw in the first game or there was the guy we saw in the second game. if I had my druthers, I would definitely take the guy in the first game, but he's 2-1 with a 4.5 ERA because he got bombed in the second game. So Jonathan Neese had a rough outing last night. He won the game, but I'd say a rough outing only because Arizona chose to open the roof. And the ball was flying out of that place like you would never believe. It was unreal to watch that. I mean, balls were going 460 feet at a time, at a shot. Rodriguez hit a home run and it went 458 feet. The very next pitch, Gregory Polanco hits his first home run of the season. He hits it 461 feet. He hit it over the TV hole, the TV broadcast hole, or I should say the TV camera well hole, out in center field. It's three quarters of the way up the wall. Not the home run wall. We're talking about the wall above the stands. I mean, it was just a monster shot. And then later on, Jordy Mercer hit on another home run to add to his list. It's just been a whole lot of fun. A whole lot of fun to watch them offensively. Defensively. Defensively, they've been fantastic.
If you do not want the risk of your current seat location, please devise an option and you will receive it in a more protected area. The wheel of the adversary bear no responsibility for spectators' injury due to the result of being hit by Aaron Hunt.
All right, I figured I'd let the public address announcer do that. There was no way I was going to try to talk over that mess. We're getting close to game time, so we are, I think I'm almost out of time. As I mentioned last night, or earlier in the cast, the Nailers did win last night. It was a great night for hockey in Wheeling. That comeback was fantastic. As my friend who sits in the lower level, they got the section of their own, Jim Hub. He loves to talk about bully hockey. And let me tell you, that's what we saw. That is what we saw last night was bully hockey. And we're hoping to see it again today as the Nailers are looking for their to take the series lead. 3-2 before they head down to Florida. I think it's about all the time we have. We will be doing, I was hoping to get Andrew Grimm, who my remote broadcaster, my writer, who handles the Nailers. And if you don't follow him, you're crazy when it comes to Nailers coverage. But I was hoping to have him get over here, but he did not get to the arena in time. So with that said, we will be shooting for another podcast next week, and we'll talk nothing but Nailers. Until then, Godspeed, and let's hope for a Nailers win. And what the hell, a Pirates win tonight. That's all the time we have. Thanks for listening.